When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Matt Terrio of the Epic Real Estate Investing Show, and this is Thought Leader Thursday. Today, I'm joined by a very successful entrepreneur who, by his 35th birthday, had founded and sold two multi-million dollar companies. Confident that he had the formula to success, he became an angel investor and proceeded to lose his entire fortune. And then he started all over again, driven to find better ways to grow healthy, strong companies. Among other innovative strategies, he created the Profit First Formula, a way for businesses to ensure profitability from their very next deposit and forward. And he is now running his third million-dollar venture. The former MSNBC business makeover expert is a popular keynote speaker on innovative entrepreneurial topics and is the author of Profit First, Surge, The Pumpkin Plan, and The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, which Business Week deemed the entrepreneur's cult classic. Such a difficult word for me. I've said it so many times, and entrepreneurs still doesn't roll off the tongue very well. But please help me welcome to Epic Real Estate Investing, Mr. Mike Michalowicz. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt, so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm really excited to have you on the show. As of all the books that I've read, because I've read a lot over the years, there are really just a handful that have created significant and, I would say, lasting change. And your book, Profit First, is probably the most recent. It's among my top five, I would certainly say. So thank you for writing it.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I think it was an important message to get out, mostly for myself initially. That's why I wrote the book, to fix my own businesses. And I'm just thrilled by the number of people it's impacting. It's actually, this is my life's mission, is to help entrepreneurs. I just love hearing that feedback. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, I listened to the entire thing on the, this past Christmas. I was on a long drive from Central Oregon to Southern California.
Yep.
And about 3 hours into it, I called my wife. I said, download this book and then call the bookkeepers first week of January, call them for a meeting because we're going to do this.
Oh, I love hearing that.
Yeah. So we're a little over 2 months into our Profit First strategy, and I'm going to be an amazing testimony for you if you need any more, as it seems you've got a ton of them already.
Listen, I think it's important. I think every testimony, I think, further perpetuates what's going on here. I define my life's mission is to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs who tout success, even feel it, but are so stressed about making money, they're not really successful. So please, yeah, spread the word, man. I thank you.
So before we jump into the Profit First idea, I had a question about your journey up to this point. There's some similarities between your story and my story, and I'm just kind of curious. Specifically, you had a couple of successful businesses. You lost the money that you made and then rebuilt yourself back up again. What was your biggest lesson from when you were at your lowest?
Yeah, the big lesson is there's a danger in this combination of arrogance and ignorance. When I made my money selling my businesses, I became arrogant, thinking that this was destined for me, that I was a genius, that I could make money a snap of the fingers. The ignorance, too, is when I made that money, I had no understanding about money. Money, I've discovered now, is really an amplifier of who we are. I did not know how to manage money. I was doing stupid trophy things. I bought cars and a big house, and I went on sabbatical in Hawaii for a month on a private island. All these things of spending money because I was like a big roller and I'm blowing money like left and right. Mm-hmm. When I lost a lot of money, I realized that first of all, arrogance is shameful. I am not better than anyone else. I'm not worse than anyone else. I'm just another human experience. And ignorance is a very dangerous thing, especially around money. If I don't understand how to leverage money to use it to do the things I want in life, but also to serve others, I will just blow money. So that darkest period of my life was a reset for me to start a path of learning about financial discipline and to no longer, hopefully never again, be arrogant. To respect money fully.
So now that you've recovered as an entrepreneur and you're looking back,
Yeah.
What would you say is your biggest takeaway from your rise and fall and rise again experience, and how are you applying that moving forward?
Well, I dedicated a book to her. I discovered that in business, we have been told this established belief that profit comes last. You know, these terms like it's the bottom line or it's the year end. All of those things say that profit is the last consideration. And I had this realization, if my health is important to me, I don't start saying, starting today, my health is going to come last. I would never say that. I say, starting today, my health comes first. When something is important, we say it's our first priority. When something's unimportant or can be delayed or not considered, we say it comes last. Oh, I'll do it later. You know, I'll take care of my health later. That means it's not significant. And what we've been doing and what we've been programmed to do is say, for our business, profit comes last. But we're saying our business's health comes last. So a simple, subtle change that has a tremendous impact is to take our profit first. That's why I wrote the book. And the one thing I'd learned and the one thing I've been doing now religiously is every time income comes into my business, including today, I take a predetermined percentage of that money as profit. I hide it away at another bank so I have no access to it and my profit accumulates. The result for me, I started this process over 8 years ago. I have had 33 or 34 consecutive quarters of profit distribution in my business because I've taken my profit first. Before that, never had a profit. I only made money when I sold the company. Now my business is a healthy business that makes money for me, has a profit distribution every single quarter. That's the big change.
For those that haven't read the book, can you give us a 30,000 foot what profit first is and why it's important? You kind of already answered that. But
I'll give you a couple other kind of details around it. First of all, it's nothing new. This is an established method that's existed forever. It's called the pay yourself first system. Now, this exists in our personal lives. I think a lot of people, myself, I never considered it for my business, but that was the aha. I said, oh my gosh, what if I paid my business first? What if I did this in my business? And what it does is it actually reverse engineers profitability. Now, the entire system, there's a way to do this with your bank. It's very simple, a lot of simple steps. But at the 30,000 foot view, what you do is say, I decide starting today, I commit to 20% profits for my business. This is above and beyond, by the way, paying myself a salary. Money comes in, I take 20% of it, I allocate it toward profit, and now it tells me what I have left to run my business, that remaining 80%. A portion of it, I also, on a percentage-based system, use to pay myself, my taxes, and maybe at the end of it, maybe 70% of the money is left to run my business. What I'm doing here is actually reverse engineering how to run my business. When I take my profit first, when I take care of myself first, my business then tells me I have to run my business on this remainder. This is actually how much money is really left over. The trap or problem most entrepreneurs fall into is we look at that top line and say, here's how much money I have to run my business. And that's not true. That's all the money that's available for all aspects of your business and your entrepreneurial life. So we need to subtract out care for ourselves first, and then our business will tell us what's available to run it. One last little anecdote. When you do this, if you don't have enough money to pay your bills, your business is telling you it can't afford your bills. It is giving you immediate feedback that we need to improve the business by increasing margins, doing better things, and cutting unnecessary costs.
But there's so much more to it in order to really, you know, set yourself up for this thing to succeed, right?
Right.
Do you remember the moment when you realized that this was really going to be a difference maker for entrepreneurs? Like, did you remember, like, was there a moment where, like, yep, this is it? I'm totally
going with it. So profit first, and you'll discover this in the book, it's a bank-based cash management system. It's actually the umbrella that sits over our accounting system. And what I realized is my accountant, for 10 years I've been working with him, my accountant has been saying to me, Mike, whatever you do, never log into your bank account to see what your bank balance is, because that's not reflective of your business. Read your income statement, your cash flow statement, all these different bank statements and tie them in together. Read these documents and you'll know where your business is. And what I noticed was I was always logging into my bank account and on my phone and seeing if I had money or not. And if I had money, I'd spend it. If I didn't, I wouldn't. I was circumventing what he was been teaching me. The day I realized this would work was when I set up my accounts, my profit first accounts. There's what we call the foundational five. I won't go into the details now, but there's five basic accounts every business needs, even more than that. I noticed now I didn't need to change anymore. That was the aha moment. For ever since I started my business, I've been trying to force myself to do what I didn't want to do, read the accounting statements. once I noticed that I never had to change myself again, just log into my bank, see how much money is there, I knew this would work because I don't need to change my behavior. But now I was getting the results I wanted. I saw my profit accumulating on the spot. I saw myself being paid. I made sure my tax liabilities were taken care of. I knew exactly what was available to run my business at any given time. That was a turning moment. And by the way, I've discovered this is the turning moment for almost every entrepreneur I work with. Most entrepreneurs I know never read their income statement, balance sheet, cash flow statement on a weekly basis, let alone monthly or yearly. They don't know how to tie it in together. And so most entrepreneurs I know revert to what I call bank balance accounting. We log into our bank accounts and see how much money's there. Well, the beautiful thing about Profit First is no longer do you need to try to force yourself to be different than who you are. Keep doing exactly what you've always been doing. We're actually going to change the system to channel your natural behavior and drive profit.
I haven't had to change anything, right?
Yeah, that's the best part. That's the best part. Yeah,
exactly. So it's been fantastic. So for the people that you worked with that had this epiphany like I and have started to implement, what do you see are the, what is there a big mistake or a group of mistakes that they make as they're implementing it?
Yeah. So, you know, we have the statistical feedback now. We have an estimate of about 75,000 companies doing Profit First. We have 2,000 case studies though. And this is what we base our stats off. And here's what we found. The businesses that fail to succeed with Profit First go in too abruptly. They say, you know what? I've never had a profit before. Starting today, man, I'm going to take 20% home. I've never paid myself really anything before. I'm going to take another 25% for me. And the day prior, they were never profitable. And now they're forcing this profit to their business. It's such an abrupt change. Like, you know, I can tell you work out a lot. Could you imagine a guy like me, the skinny guy, I hit the weight room and I say, you know, I'm going to learn how to bench. I want to bench 300 pounds. Hey, throw 300 on the rack. I'm going to bench that out. I will rip my sockets out and my eyes would explode out of my face. Like, no effing way. But if I start with 50 pounds and then 60 and 70 and over a few weeks and a few months, I might get to 200 pounds. Once I'm doing that, maybe it'll take me another year. But if I keep moving incrementally, yes, I can build my muscle. In our business, we need to build our financial muscle. The key to successfully pulling off Profit First is not to try to bench 300 pounds. Instead, start with a very small profit. If you've never been profitable before, start by taking 1 or 2%. Build that up over time, then move that to 3%, then maybe 4%. And over the months, then you move to the ideal strength of a business, which maybe is 20% or 30% profit, but you got to do it slowly.
Yep. That was one of the actual aha moments as I was driving. I was like, okay, I don't have to go turn the whole thing upside down. We're talking, we can go with 1% and just move our way forward that way.
Yeah, it's exactly.
I really like that. I really like it. So you're a speaker, you're an educator. Is there a piece of bad entrepreneurial advice out there that you hear over and over again that just kind of gets under your skin?
It's funny, I had a call about it today. And it's gonna sound crazy because it's my new kind of, I'm railing against it. But it's this concept of hustle. The thing is, you asked me like a week ago and I was still a big advocate. Yeah, we got hustle. But there's been something gnawing at me for years now. And then about 5 days ago, I had the epiphany. We do need to hustle, but only for a period of time before we need to transition to the systemization of our business. Our business really needs to be a choreographed dance of different resources. And we need to be the chess master, if you will, putting the right pieces in the right place to get things done. Mm-hmm. I used to have that mug, GSD, I get shit done. And I've actually made my own new mug and it says HTC GSD, which stands for have the company get shit done. I need to be a designer. My goal for my business is that it runs fully independently of me, that I can sleep through the night and money comes in, that I can go on vacation for as long as I want and money comes in. And that doesn't happen overnight. It's a step by process. But to get our business running like clockwork by itself requires us to change from that hustle mindset to the idea of I'm just gonna get done, and to start being much more strategic and getting the processes in place, putting the right resources in place. That's the key. And behind the scenes, I've been kind of working on it, but about a week ago, I drew the line. And by the way, how I did it is I've declared for myself a 4-week vacation, December 18th to January 18th of this upcoming, we're 9 months away. I am going off the grid. My assistant already knows. She's disconnecting all my emails. She's rechanging passwords and stuff. And I'm leaving the office behind. The day I said I'm doing that, all of a sudden I woke up and said, oh my gosh, how do I get the 8 people I'm leaving behind to do everything that I've been doing in the next 9 months so I can actually pull this off? It's been a big mind shift for me.
So I got something from the audience. And before I go there, if the audience wanted to learn more about you and your works, what would be the best way for them to do that?
The best place to go is mikemikalowicz.com. Here's the deal. My last name is difficult to pronounce. It is extremely impossible to spell. So I got 2 shortcuts. One is you can go to Google and type in Mike and then Mick. So Mike spacebar, M-I-C for Mick. When you see the longest, most Polish name on the planet, that's me. Click there. The alternative is you can just remember a real simple nickname I had in high school, Mike Motorbike. If you go to mikemotorbike.com, I'll bring you to my site. And on the site, I used to write for the Wall Street Journal, as you shared. I share my best archived articles. It's only for subscribers of the Wall Street Journal, but you can get it for free. Chapters from all my books, plus I'm a blogger and podcaster, all at Mike Mikalowicz or mikemotorbike.com.
Fantastic. Yeah, I tested Mike Motorbikes. I got that from the book and it actually worked.
So. Yeah, there you go, right? There you go.
Much easier. All right. So what I've done, Mike, is I bought 10 of your books.
And thanks, brother.
I'm going to give them away to the audience. And this is how they win. So go to Instagram and I want you to tag Mike and Epic Real Estate. And I want you to create a post stating what you like best about today's interview. And the first 10 people to do that, I'll send you a free copy of Mike's book, Profit First. So Mike, I love this book. You've got other books. What is the next one that I should read?
So the next one, you can go back kind of in the archives. I've got 4 others and I'm writing a new one called Clockwork, and I've gotten 4 others. I always respond with a question. I used to say, oh, read The Pumpkin Plan. That's one of my books about growth, or read Surge, Catching Momentum, or read. Here's what I found. Determine in your business what's the next biggest roadblock you're facing, and let's get the book that answers that. I may have not written the book. So I'll give you the categories. If you are looking to run your business more efficiently, recover time for yourself, have more time freedom, the book is called Clockwork. It's on Amazon for pre-order now. If you're looking to grow your business organically, meaning if you picture your best client right now and you've had 10 or 100 more of that best client, what would that do if that was important for your business? That's The Pumpkin Plan. If you're looking to market on automatic, have the market actually carry you forward, that's Surge. And if you're just starting out, maybe it's a toilet paper entrepreneur you should read. Those are the categories. But quite frankly, if you're having like an HR problem, I haven't written that book yet. There's a book out there. Determine what your biggest challenge is in your business today, and then seek out the book that answers that. That's my suggestion.
Super. All righty. So I'm going to let you go. It's been a pleasure, Mike. Thank you so
likewise,
much
for brother.
Being here today. And if you want a copy of Mike's book, this is how you do it. You go to Instagram, tag Mike, tag Epic Real Estate, create a post stating what you liked best about today's interview. And then the first 10 people to do that, I'll go ahead and I'll send you a copy of the book. All right. So again, Mike, thanks very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, Matt. And,
let's stay in touch.
Yeah, let's do it. Take care, everyone.
Take care. All right. Bye. All right, I'm Matt Terrio. God bless to your success. I'll see you next week for another episode of Thought Leader Thursday. Take care.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.